But before I do that, I want to talk just a little bit about the topic that we're gathered here to consider. Could school vouchers improve the quality of education in our state? Now, in tonight's speeches, I predict that you will hear quite a bit of discussion about the concept of choice, because that really is central to a discussion of school vouchers, because the whole idea behind school vouchers is that the government will enable citizens to exercise choices about where to send their children to schools with an additional subsidy or with financial support from the state in one form or another. But there's another dimension of choice that is important when you're thinking about school vouchers, and that is the process through which our community chooses to decide whether or not to pursue school vouchers as the cornerstone of our educational reform policy. Now, we've organized this debate because we believe that it's important that this larger process of choosing whether or not to pursue vouchers should be made democratically. Because education is perhaps the area of government policy that affects the lives of citizens most directly, it is important that changes in educational policy be made with citizen involvement. And this point is particularly true when it comes to when sweeping changes are proposed that promise to fundamentally reshape the nature of our educational systems. Consider the metaphor of public schools as cultural mirrors. When we look into these mirrors and look into public schools, we might not like exactly what we see, but what we see are nevertheless reflections of ourselves, reflections of our values as a community, of our priorities, and reflections about our culture. And when advocates propose sweeping changes in the nature of public schools, this metaphor suggests that they are also proposing sweeping changes in the very structure of the community, major cultural shifts that promise to reorient society. What are the major cultural shifts that underlie the proposal for school vouchers? Will vouchers not only improve education, but also improve society and benefit the community as a whole? These are the questions that need to be discussed in robust democratic forums such as this one, and public debates are ideal sites for social learning where such dialogue can unfold. Each year, we put on a number of these public debates as part of the William Pitt Debating Union that bring together students, public officials, and other advocates to discuss salient community concerns in a public forum. And we feel that these events are not only pedagogically valuable for students in that they offer opportunities for students to learn about the topics that they're researching, learn critical thinking, and practice their public speaking, but such debates also benefit the community by raising citizen awareness and also providing an opportunity for citizens to explore issues in an in-depth fashion that goes beyond the soundbite size analysis that we often see in mass media treatments of public controversies these days. And tonight we have an opportunity to interact with some very prominent advocates on the vouchers issue, and I'd like to introduce them right now along with the student debaters that will be participating tonight. Over to my right and to your left, we have the affirmative side, the advocates who will defend an affirmative answer to the question, could school vouchers improve the quality of education in our state? And closest to you, we have Denise Bolsack, who is a first-year student at the University of Pittsburgh. Let's give her a warm welcome and applause. Next to Denise, seated in the middle, is the State Education Secretary, Eugene Hickok. He was named to his current post in 1995, and he actually, when I talked to him last week, he said, well, I'm excited to do this debate because I'll be returning to my academic roots. And actually, in 1980, he was a teacher at Dickinson College in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and he also served as the director of the college's Clark Center for the Interdisciplinary Study of Contemporary Issues there. To my right, then, is David Kirkpatrick. He is a senior research fellow at the Allegheny Institute. And Mr. Kirkpatrick has published numerous books on school vouchers, including the book Choice in Schooling and School Choice, The Idea That Must Not Die. And he also has experience as a public educator. He was actually an Easton Area School District High School History teacher in Pennsylvania. And actually, I just realized We forgot to welcome Secretary Hickok. So let's double up on the applause for Secretary Hickok. Now, over to my left and your right, we have the opposition. And these will be the folks that will be providing a negative answer to the question, could school vouchers improve the quality of education in our state? An alternative answer to that question, not necessarily negative, probably a lot of different ways of criticizing that proposition. Closest to you, seated on my right, is Melissa Butler, who is a first grade teacher in the Pittsburgh public school system and also a parent teacher organizer at the Pittsburgh Council on Public Education. Let's welcome Melissa Butler. In the middle, we have senior Bianca Huff, who is an experienced public debater. Those of you who attended the 1997 Citizen Review Board debate might have remembered her as a prominent advocate in that debate. And Bianca just came back from a summer internship with the Labour Party in Britain, and she's done quite a bit of research on vouchers, and I think you'll enjoy her arguments tonight. Let's give Bianca. And finally, seated to Bianca's right is Reverend Thomas E. Smith. He is a pastor at the Monumental Baptist Church. Reverend Smith also serves as the chairman of the Center for Family Excellence Incorporated, and he's also the chairman of the Thomas Merton Center and chairman of the Religious Task Force on the Economy. Reverend Smith earned his BA in Urban Studies from Virginia Union University in 1975. He completed the requirements of a Master's of Divinity in Virginia Union School of Theology in December of 77, and he had finished all his coursework for a Doctorate of Ministry back in 1986. Please welcome Reverend Thomas E. Smith. Finally, down on the lower level, we have a panel of three students who will serve as questioners for tonight's debate. Seated to the left there and to your right is Carrie Wellis, who is an undergraduate student at the University of Pittsburgh. In the middle is Ian Steinberg from Penn State, and Brendan Delaney, who is also from the University of Pittsburgh. When I describe the format, I'll tell you when they come in, but for now, let's welcome the panel of student questioners. Okay, the format for the debate is listed on the back of the program, so I won't go into it in too much detail other than to say that we made a slight alteration in the times for the opening speeches and questions. We actually took 1 minute from the student panel questions and added it into the speech time. So for part one of the debate, we'll have 8 minute opening speeches by the advocates, and then that will be followed by 3 minutes of questions from the student panel. Then after each advocate has had an opportunity to lay out their basic opening arguments, we'll move on to part two of the debate, where we will invite audience members to come up and ask questions in the microphone that is standing right there in the front of the room. And then finally, in part three, we'll move into closing arguments, where the advocates will summarize their main points and finish off the debate. So without further ado, let me invite up to the podium the first affirmative speaker who will present her opening speech, Ms. Denise Olsak.
Sorry, I'm not tall, Gordon. Vouchers. No other issue since creationism has created such a stir in education. School vouchers have been heralded as education's next savior, as well as the ultimate deterioration in providing education to all people. Regardless of the voucher issue, I believe that all people, including parents, educators, and students, want the best education possible. We all want our children to excel and to grow, because they are our future. If they do not possess the knowledge necessary for success, knowledge that's provided through education, then how bright will their future be? If we want what is best for our children, then why do we deny them all opportunities, all choices available for learning? This is one question that supports why I believe that school vouchers can improve the quality of education in Pennsylvania. First of all, before we begin the presentations tonight, what exactly are voucher programs? Generally, voucher programs involve the use of tax dollars given to parents so that their children can attend the school of their choice, whether it's public or private. The issue of school choice has come to the foreground recently with the Wisconsin State and United States Supreme Courts. In the fall of 1997, the Wisconsin State Supreme Court held a voucher program to be constitutional, therefore supporting that aspect of the use of public funds for school vouchers. The case was appealed to the United States Supreme Court to determine the official federal opinion on the nature of school vouchers. On November 9, 1998, the Supreme Court declined to add the Wisconsin case to its docket for the 1999 court season and did not issue an opinion on this issue also. The Supreme Court's dismissal of the Wisconsin case has set a very important precedent on the viable nature of vouchers. Without the Supreme Court's voice, each state can make their own laws regarding these possibilities. Numerous reasons support the use for school vouchers, including increasing options of education for every family, streamlining the current public system's bureaucracy, and improving schools for every pupil. However, I will focus my time on three specific and significant reasons that point to why vouchers are a possible solution to the current problems in education. First, vouchers promote competition in the educational sphere. Second, they can create incentives for parental involvement. And finally, they can provide a more effective, constitutional, and student-friendly way to fund education. First, school vouchers offer the opportunity to improve quality of education through promoting competition in the school system. Currently, private schools can hold an upper hand by offering students a specialized education. With the use of vouchers, all educational institutions, not only private schools, will possess an increased opportunity to specialize their studies in areas such as the sciences, the international studies, or the performing arts. By establishing specialized schools, a more focused student body that is more likely to learn in innumerable ways is created. This is a way to find a worthwhile education that is appealing to all parties involved. I don't think that students and parents would reject a school that provides a healthy learning environment that also promotes common interests and specialization in studies. With this method, teachers as well as administrators and principals will be more encouraged to be effective educators and incorporate varied teaching methods that capture students' imaginations as well as their abilities and increase their learning capacities. If a school is not an effective place of learning, if they are not making the grade, students will have an easier option to change schools. Ineffectual schools will simply not be able to survive under this voucher system because when students leave, they would also take their vouchers with them. Increased competition between schools will compel any so-called bad schools to become more effective and efficient in order to continue to function. A second reason for the support of vouchers draws attention to the educational process itself. Instead of viewing money used for education as only a school tax, like other taxes that are forced to be paid, it offers an opportunity to be a very prominent investment in America's future. The investment can now be a center stage issue for the real expense of education. Parents and guardians can be further educated in the dollars required to present their children with schooling. For example, the average tuition for private schooling in 1997 per child was $3,116. In contrast, the public school system spent on average $6,857 tax dollars per pupil. This is a cost of more than twice the amount per student for the public schools. These kinds of factors can be very educational for parents when they are deciding on where to send their children to school. Additionally, parents and students can find themselves with a newfound ability to choose the educational program. They can be directly involved in sending where their child should go to school instead of being forced by the state to send their child to a certain public school. Vouchers can empower parents to select the schools. Only then can they be a direct part in the often touted school-community triangle, a student triangle of success. Parents are the necessary link to the success, and the vouchers provide a new path. It can also be advocated that under the current system, parents do have a choice in their child's education. They can choose to send their child to public school or to private school. I wish the reality of this argument were so simple. Currently, parents who select private school for their child must pay twice for education. They must fund the entire tuition at the private school and then pay, through public taxes, for public school. Most parents quite simply do not possess the resources required for both institutions. Their supposed choice for education is simply not existent. Thankfully, vouchers could reduce the cost of desiring a choice in education. Last month, on February 3, 1999, Governor Ridge proposed a 5-year opportunity grant program that offers a best of both worlds scenario as part of the year's budget. The proposal would provide tuition grants of between $350 and $1,400 for parents in certain parts of the state as a trial basis initially. In the first year, only families earning less than $15,000 a year would be eligible. By the fifth year, those earning up to $75,000 would be included. The planned 5-year cost is projected at an average of $587 million. However, his proposal would not involve reducing state subsidies for public schools, unlike many other tuition voucher programs in other states. Ridge, in fact, increased subsidies by $190 million for Pennsylvania's 501 school districts. He also includes $35 million for an initiative called Read to Succeed, which is designed to improve primary grade reading instruction. Public schools will still receive their funding, thus alleviating one of the fears that the opponents would wish to get to vouchers. But now individuals will possess an opportunity to make an educational choice. That is, only if the plan is approved. Finally, vouchers can be used and the Constitution can still be protected and enforced. Much of the controversy surrounding this issue stems from the First Amendment clause that requires the separation of church and state at any cost. From a legal standpoint, vouchers can be regarded as a grant or reimbursement to the child or his or her guardian, not direct aid to the school. In this case, voucher money is used solely by the individual, and thus the state funds do not violate the Establishment Clause. This concept is not new. Numerous government programs, such as college tuition grants, the GI Bill, and Social Security, already work in this manner. Individuals use government stipends to provide goods and services from a wide variety of organizations, including for-profits, nonprofits, and religious institutions. Vouchers are no different from these programs, except they are applied to basic education that is the foundation of our children's knowledge. If we can solidly conclude that vouchers are unconstitutional, I think we can suddenly bid a farewell to the other programs as well, a result that I'm sure will not occur without a fight. With these options open on the table, it's imperative to continually question what is going on and the policy actions that are being taken. After viewing both sides on this controversial issue, one substantially key area of the debate cannot be forgotten. In the end, students and real people will see the results of all the debate and on all the arguing. It will be they who experience the inevitable changes that come to the educational process. This simple fact cannot be ignored in the games of politics and desire to create history. However, let us give our children a bright future where they have a voice and where they receive their foundational knowledge. Allow our parents and communities to possess a direct involvement and investment in the future. Vouchers provide an additional path to better education, and they can also improve the quality of education for Pennsylvania, but only if we give them the opportunity to do so. Thank you.